All right, we are continuing in a series that we started last week on Easter Sunday about where is God? Where is he? I don't see him, I don't hear him, I don't feel him, but I need him. Where is he? And this morning, I want to talk to you about what you do when you say, man, where is God? I don't hear him. Has anybody ever been in this place before? You need God, but you just don't hear him speaking to you. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, it says this, if you want to put it up there on the screen. I believe it should be there. Maybe it's not. We'll just read it out of our Bibles. Praise God, amen. We don't need technology all the time. There it is. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. And they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Real quick, this has nothing to do for the message, but am I echoey out there? I feel very echoey. Let me try this microphone because it's distracting me. I don't know if it's distracting you. Is this better? Maybe, maybe not. Hey, can you try to turn down this microphone, the speaker microphone, a little bit? We'll get it working, whichever one, until it sounds good out there. All right, well, we'll just go with this microphone. See, we all have a preferred way of communicating. There's so many different ways to communicate today. It's almost overwhelming. Some of you, you might solely communicate through Facebook messaging and Instagram messaging. Anybody do that? I have a friend who you try to call him on his cell phone or text him, he will not answer. But everything through Facebook messaging, that is how he responds. You can even communicate through pictures if you don't want to use words, through social media like Snapchat. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know why you would send a picture to explain something. It makes no sense to me. But people do it. You can text back and forth, right? You can send an email, call somebody on the phone. You can even send a letter in the mail. And believe it or not, you can talk to somebody in person. Oh my goodness. There are so many ways that you can communicate with people today. And through all of these ways of communicating, we all have a preferred method of communication. If I had it my way, all communication would be done through text messaging. That would be how everything is done, or in person. I hate talking on the phone. It is literally the worst thing in the world. When my phone rings or the phone here at the church rings, I just go, oh, do I really want to answer it? Do I really want the answer? I just hate talking on the phone. If it can be summarized in a text message, just send a text. Make it simple. Make it sweet. Respond at your own convenience. It's wonderful. Or if it's something really important, let's talk face-to-face. Because I like to see your body language, how you're responding. If maybe there's something there that I'm not catching on the phone, that's how I would prefer to communicate, in person or through a text. But I also know that in an emergency or when there's some really important conversation that you need to have, the phone is really important. And there's a variety of ways that I can communicate quickly if I need to. In fact, the other day, if you only communicated my way, situations would sometimes escalate and not be very productive. The other day, Kinsey and I, we went to Worland and we took the kids with us, right? And I had to get the new church van titled and registered and all of those wonderful things. And so Kinsey went with me. I dropped her off at Blair's. She took the kids, was going to do some grocery shopping while I went and got the van registered and titled. Well, that happened fairly quickly. And I looked at my phone and I didn't have any text from Kinsey saying that she was done. So I did what a good husband does. And I went to Ace Hardware to look for things that I didn't know that I needed, but as soon as I saw them, I'm like, man, I need that. Any men know what I'm talking about? That's why you go to Ace. You don't go in for any reason other than there's something in the store that you need. And after a 40-minute conversation with an employee about doorknobs,
I hear my phone buzzing in my pocket. And this is like the third time Kinsey has called me. She sent me numerous texts. She's called me. And like I said, I don't like talking on the phone, so I ignore her call. Right? I'm in a face-to-face interaction with this employee talking about something very important that we don't need, doorknobs. She calls again. I'm like, okay, she's calling twice in a row. It might be important. So I answer it, and she is furious, right? I'm not answering the phone. I said I was going to come back to the parking lot in Blair's. I have the debit card, so she can't check out of the grocery store. And Cordell has been a menace inside of Blair's. She's like, I'm done. Come pick up your kids. I'm staying here forever. Give me the debit card. It was terrible. But she was wondering the whole time, where is Brandon, right? I need him, but I haven't heard back from him. He hasn't texted me. He hasn't called. I've lifted up my phone calls, all of these things, and I need help. And we ask the same question to God. God, where are you? I need help. I am desperate. I am overwhelmed. God, I need something. I'm lifting up my prayers to you. I'm journaling. I'm writing things down. I'm trying to talk to you, but where are you? I need answers. I need an explanation for why things aren't going the way they are. But God, you're not picking up the phone. We don't hear him. And then we hear stories in the Bible about people hearing the voice of God. And sometimes those can be really encouraging, but I don't know if you've ever read a story about somebody hearing from God in the Bible when you're not hearing from God. It can be frustrating, right? You can be upset. You can get confused and even sad because you don't hear God the same way. You can hear stories about how God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. And you're like, God, I would love a burning bush to just come and speak directly to me. Right, you hear stories about how God spoke to Samuel while he was sleeping in the temple. It's like, God, yeah, just speak directly. Like, I just know it's you. Speak, God. I'm listening. Right, God spoke to Noah specifically to build a boat. Like, God, just tell me specifically what I need to do. Don't try to make me figure it out. But when we need to hear from God, the call doesn't seem to go through. He's not answering the text. He's not answering the phone. And sometimes it seems like we've sent him that Facebook message, but he hasn't even read it, so we don't know that he's read it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can't be the only one that does this. I see a message come through on Facebook. I'm like, I don't want to read that right now, so I'm not going to click on it. Because if I click on it, they're going to know I read it, and I don't want to respond right now, and then it's going to be terrible. And sometimes we feel like God does the same thing. He's not clicking on our prayer to know that he's heard us. So what do you do when you haven't heard from God? When you don't hear his voice, but you desperately need his guidance? And I think the first thing that we have to do is this, and this is challenging, believe me or not, this is challenging. But I think this is the crux that we have to understand to hearing the voice of God. We have to get rid of the false idea that God isn't speaking, because he is. It's simply not true. In fact, the truth is the complete opposite. See, the problem is not that God is not speaking to us. It's that we aren't hearing God. God is always speaking. Always. But we're not always hearing. Now, notice what I did not say. I did not say that we're not listening. Because some of you are thinking, Pastor Brandon, what are you talking about? I have been praying and I've been trying to hear God. I've been asking him to answer this prayer and I just can't hear him. Yeah, you're listening, but you may not be hearing. See, not listening is when you just completely tune them out, right? That's what I get in trouble for all the time from my wife. You're not listening to me. But not hearing is completely different. And Kinsey and I, we also have this problem all the time. You see, in our house, our furnace is in our kitchen, specifically right next to the fridge. So if one of us is getting up to get a drink out of the fridge or get Cordell some milk, or even if we're cooking and the furnace kicks on, you cannot hear anything at all. And so sometimes Kinsey's in the living room and we're having a really good conversation about something while I'm cooking or she's cooking and one of us is watching the kids. All of a sudden that furnace kicks on and it's like, man, I cannot hear a lick of what she's saying. And we're yelling, what'd you say? I don't hear you. Right? And it's not that I'm not listening. I'm just not hearing what she is saying. And the same is true with God. See, when you don't hear God speaking to you, it's not that he's silent. It's not that you aren't listening. It's that you aren't hearing. And I think there's two main reasons why we don't hear God when he speaks to us today. And we don't have time to get into both of them today. So we're going to focus on one today and one next week. All right? And the first reason why I think we don't hear God when he speaks, even when we're listening, is because we're distracted. There's so many things going on in our life. The furnace kicking on, the kids screaming and yelling, all these things, we get distracted. And the second reason why we don't hear God when he speaks to us today is because we don't know how God speaks to us. We look at how God speaks to other people, but we don't know how God speaks to us. And so we'll focus on that next week, but today we're going to focus on why we don't hear God because of our distractions. So my hope today is that you can grow in your ability to hear the voice of God in your life, to know that he is with you, and begin the process of eliminating the distractions in your life. So how do we do that? How do we eliminate the distractions in our life? Well, first we have to understand what it is that's distracting us, right? And I think for all of us, there are three main general things that distract us in life. Of course, there's a lot of different things, but three main areas that distract us from our life. See, just like our furnace, the kids screaming and yelling, or our own thoughts distract Kinsey and I from hearing one another, these three things distract us as well. And the first one is this. If you're taking notes in the app or on the back of your worship guide, you can write this down. The first distraction is busyness. It's busyness. And this is one that I have struggled with, all right? Maybe you've struggled with busyness. And so many times we think busyness is a good thing, but really busyness is from Satan. It is a lie of the devil. Here's why busyness is not from God, it is from Satan, because it's a lie and it steals from you. Here's how. Here's what busyness says that it does. Busyness says that you have a lot of things to do because you are important, right? Man, I'm just so important. I got to be here. I got to do this. I got to take care of my kids. I got my job. I've got all this other stuff that I have to do. I'm busy because I am important. And important people are busy. They just have a lot to do. Busyness says that you have a lot of things to do because you're productive. Right? You're busy because you just get things done and then you're moving on to the next thing and you're moving on to the next thing. But the reality is you're probably busy not because you're productive but because you procrastinate. Right? And you just wait until everything comes to the end and then, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so busy because we procrastinated and we didn't get everything done. Busyness says that you have a lot of things to do because you are needed. Ooh. This one hit me hard. You see, you're busy because nobody else can do what needs to be done other than you. This is one that I struggle with. I tell Kinsey all the time, Kinsey, nobody else can do this project. Kinsey, nobody else can talk to this person. Nobody else can help in this situation. Only I can do it. And we get super busy and super overwhelmed because we think we're the only ones that can do what's needed. But here's what busyness really does. Busyness steals from you. It lies and it steals from you. John chapter 10 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Jesus later on in John says that he is the gate. So what Jesus is saying here is that anyone or anything that tries to get to the core of who you are without going through Jesus is a thief and is stealing from you. And busyness tries to circumnavigate the will and purpose of God in your life by distracting you and getting you busy. It's not from Jesus. Here's how busyness distracts you from hearing the voice of God. The first thing that busyness does to distract you from the voice of God is it steals your time. Busyness steals your time. You think, man, I just don't have 15 minutes to spend in prayer with God today. I woke up late and I've got too many things to do. Jesus is with me wherever I go, right? So I don't need to take time to sit and to pray, because I pray throughout the day and Jesus is with me. He steals our time. See, you do need to take time to pray, because that 15 minutes or even 5 minutes of prayer shouldn't be you talking to God for the 15 or the 5 minutes. It should be you giving your burdens to God, yes, but then letting him talk back to you. That's what prayer is. It is a two-way street of communication. So if you don't take the time to pray and to hear the voice of God and to let him speak to you, you're not going to hear him. If I woke up every day and I just told Kinsey, I don't have time to talk to you today. I am too busy. I've got too much stuff at work to do. We've got to take care of the kids. We've got this appointment to go to and this school event to go to and all of these things. So Kinsey, we can't talk, right? We can text each other throughout the day and connect and all that kind of stuff. But we don't have time to really talk about things. Your marriage is going to suffer. It's the same thing with God. And that's what busyness does. It begins to steal your time. 5 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You don't have time to let God speak to you. And when you don't have time, the next thing happens. Busyness then comes and it distracts you from the voice of God by stealing your energy. First, your time is gone and now your energy, because when you're busy, busyness steals your time, so you don't spend the time with God. And because you don't spend time with God, you don't allow him to renew your strength and refresh your soul. Pretty soon, all of your energy is gone. You get up, you go to work, run the kids here, run them there, and pretty soon you have no time for yourself or for your spouse, let alone God. You're exhausted all the time, and you begin to feel physically, emotionally, and even spiritually drained. And some of you this morning, you may be like, Pastor Brandon, I relate to that wholeheartedly. I just feel like my energy is being stolen from me. I used to have so much energy and so much excitement, but it is just gone because you haven't spent time with God, letting him refresh your soul. And when busyness starts to drain your energy, it will come and it will then steal your passion. That's what it does. See, it's no longer that you don't have time to spend with God, but you don't have time to be energized and recharged by God, and then your passion is gone, right? What's the point of going to church, of reading my Bible, of praying, right? What's the time of spending time with the Lord and investing in my relationship with him? I don't have the time, and when I do have the time to do those things, I'm not hearing from God anyway, because we're rushing and we're busy and we're trying to get through it. So what's the point? And your passion and your zeal is stolen from you all because of busyness. And if I'm being honest with you, this is what was happening to me. As a pastor, I had become so busy doing things for the Lord that I forgot to be with the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get so busy doing all the time, you forget to be a spouse, a husband, and a wife. You forget to be a mom. You forget to be with the Lord. That's what was happening to me. I was so busy. I wasn't spending time with God like I should have been. I wasn't allowing him to rejuvenate my soul, and I could see my passion for the Lord and the things that he had done and the things that he had called me to do begin to wane. So I had to make a decision. And I had gotten to the place where busyness had stolen my time and stolen my energy. And before I got to the place where it stole my passion, I said, I have to stop. And I have to just be with God and let him restore my soul and restore my energy. You may be in the same place this morning. You feel the busyness of work, of family, the busyness of your health, just life in general, taking over and distracting you from God. Don't let the busyness steal your passion. Take it back. Stop and say, before this escalates, maybe you're like, man, yeah, it's stealing my time and I'm starting to see my energy wane. Don't let it go any farther. Get your time back. Start just 5 minutes a day with God, intentionally praying and then saying, God, for the next 2 minutes, I'm going to just sit here and let you speak to me because I want to hear your voice. Don't let the busyness take your time. Don't let it take your energy or your passion. Steal it back. See, there's an old children's church song that I learned growing up that God brought to my mind during this sabbatical. And it says this. It says, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. There's a reason why I'm not on the worship team, guys, okay? But does anybody know that song or is it just me? Oh my goodness, bunch of heathens in church, okay? Man, we sing this song like every Sunday. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. You got to take back what he has stolen from you. See, when you eliminate the distraction of busyness in your life, you are freeing up your soul to be able to hear God when he speaks to you. Second major distraction that we need to eliminate in our life is this: competing voices around you. Maybe this is what you notice. Man, God, you're just not speaking to me because there's so many competing voices around us. Just this last week, again, I was driving back from Worland. You may see a theme in this message. A lot of driving to Worland and back. And when I drive, I sometimes just spend... Does anybody just like sit in silence in your car on the way to Worland? It's wonderful. It's great. But other times I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call Kinsey and I just want to talk to my wife. So I was doing that on the way back from Worland. I was talking to her and Sophia was having a bad day. She was screaming her head off. Oh my goodness, it was so bad. There was about a 30-second window of this phone call where Sophia is screaming so bad in the background, I literally cannot tell if Kinsey is still talking or not. And she was talking the whole time. And finally, I just realized that, Kinsey, I cannot hear a lick of what you're saying, so I'm going to hang up and we can talk when we get home. Right? God could be speaking directly to you, but if everyone else is screaming at you, you won't hear him. The screaming and the yells and the voices from the world around you will take over. I don't think we have any sheep ranchers in our church, but sheep are interesting animals. Did you know that sheep have such good hearing that they can isolate a voice? They can isolate a voice and a noise. In John chapter 10, when Jesus is telling this parable about the sheep, he says this in verse 3 and 4. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him. Why? Not because he's leading, but because they know his voice. See, the way that shepherding worked back during Jesus' time was that at night you would gather up your flock in whatever pasture you were in, and you would take them to the closest set of corrals that there were. And you would put those sheep in the corrals. And there might be 5, 6, 12 other shepherds feeding in the same area. So you guys are all sharing the same corrals, and you're just stuffing them in there, right, to protect them at night so they don't go wandering off and coyotes don't get them and all of these things. And so then all of your sheep get mixed in together. And they didn't have brands in the Middle East, okay? So it wasn't like, hey, that one's mine and that one's mine, I need to go get them. Instead, those sheep were trained to hear the voice of their own shepherd. And so when they would open the gate in the morning, the shepherd would stand outside of the gate and he would begin to yell. Right? In Switzerland, you may know the big fancy thing of yodeling. Right? The sheep, the shepherds, they learned how to yodel because the sheep would know that particular shepherd's yodel. And then those sheep, and only that shepherd's sheep, would come out of the gate and go to where the shepherd was. It's they recognized the shepherd's voice. You see, you and I, we have to get to a place in our relationship with God that we allow him to be our shepherd. That we've eliminated the busyness from our lives and we've spent time with Jesus so we know his voice. Because if you don't spend time with Jesus, you won't know his voice. And when you know his voice, even when the world around you is loud, we can hear the voice of Jesus. When there's other shepherds yelling for their sheep and bringing distractions, you run to Jesus. You can eliminate the voices of the world telling you that it's okay to live together before you're married. You can eliminate the voices of the world telling you it's okay to be gay and to be transgender, that whoever you feel like being, you can be. And you can eliminate those voices because you've heard the voice of God. You've read scripture and you know the voice of your shepherd who said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you're made in the image of God. He created us male and female, clothed women with an unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, and has called men to be strong, to stand firm, and do everything in love. See, you eliminate the competing voices around you by deleting social media off your phone, listening to worship music in the car instead of talk radio, and spending time with God. One of the most difficult but effective things I have done in this last month of my sabbatical was completely eliminate social media from my phone. So if you send me a message on Facebook, I might check Facebook once a day on my computer while I'm at work. It has been so refreshing to get away from the drama and all of these things that are happening in the world around us. People come up to me like, "Did you hear what's going on in China?" I have no idea. I'm sorry. I have no idea. Why? Because I am spending time learning the voice of my shepherd and not the competing voices around me. You eliminate these competing voices by spending time in the Word of God, time in community with other believers, and time in prayer with the Lord. And when you know His voice, you can hear it above the noise. The third main distraction that we experience that keeps us from hearing the voice of God when He speaks is fear. It's fear. Fear is a funny thing because rational fear is actually very healthy, right? We see in the Bible the fear of the Lord, and that's actually a very good and healthy thing. Rational fear is what causes you to be cautious around things like guns, right? Having a healthy, rational fear. Not that you're afraid of the gun, it's a healthy fear because you know what can happen when a gun is used improperly. In fact, I remember growing up, a kid in our neighborhood, I grew up in a town of about 200,000 people, a neighborhood of about 4,000 people, and there's a kid in our neighborhood, went to our school, was playing with his dad's gun one day and accidentally shot and killed his little brother. You see, if that kid had a rational, healthy fear of guns, he would have known not to treat the gun like a toy and to respect it. That's a healthy, rational fear. However, fear becomes unhealthy when it becomes irrational. When it doesn't make logical sense about why you should be afraid of something, you just are. And this is called a phobia. Anybody have any phobias? Don't tell me. I'm sure you do. See, if someone has an irrational fear of guns, it actually has a name. It's called hoplophobia. Many of you know that I am terrified of snakes. And I don't think this is an irrational fear. I think this is a very rational fear, okay? Not just because I have it, but listen, Satan used a snake to convince Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? I think that's very rational fear to be afraid of snakes. But the irrational fear of snakes is called aphidophobia. And did you know as well that there is an irrational fear, a phobia of God? If you have an irrational fear of God, it is called theophobia, the fear of God. And sometimes I think we act out of our theophobia instead of a healthy fear of God. That we think that if we connect with God and we actually allow God to speak to us, then He is going to condemn us, He's going to judge us, He's going to tear us a new one and tell us all of the wrong things that we have done in our life. Anybody ever heard that before? Man, I've heard some preachers that they just bring down the fire and brimstone all the time, that we are all just terrible, awful people, nothing you can do is ever going to make you any better, and we're all going to hell. And we get trapped in that fear of God condemning us and judging us and telling us that we have not done enough and we're doomed to hell. But I have good news for you this morning. If you have a fear of God speaking to you because of that, God does not speak that way. In fact, in Romans chapter 15, he says this. He says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. See, God speaks encouragement into our soul. He's not there to condemn us and to punish us and to catch us in the act and swift to pound the gavel. No, he wants to share his love with you. His mercies are made new every day. His grace covers a multitude of sins. He brings love and encouragement. So when you can get to a place where you can understand that God is not out to catch you or swift to pound the gavel, you can get to a place where you want to hear the voice of God and not dread hearing the voice of God. See, the problem is not that God is not speaking, it's that we aren't hearing God. But we can get to a place where we are hearing God when we eliminate the distractions in our life. When we eliminate the busyness of doing instead of being in the presence of God. When we drown out the competing voices that are going on in our life and the world around us. And when we get rid of the irrational fear of what will happen if we let God speak to us. We can hear the voice of God. So what can you do to eliminate the distractions and hear the voice of God? Here's some practical steps that you can take this week, even tonight, before you go to bed or in the morning when you wake up, to eliminate the distractions and hear the voice of God. And don't worry, we're not going too much longer, okay? It's very quick. But if you're needing to hear the voice of God for anything, for direction, confirmation on a decision, or just to feel like God is there with you, here's what you do. You put on worship music to eliminate the distractions, right? The competing voices so you can focus on God. And then you pray, right? You give your burdens to the Lord, because I don't know about you, sometimes the competing voice is my own voice. It's all of the thoughts of the things that I have to do and the struggles that I'm going through and all of these things that I need God to do. So you give your burdens to the Lord. And then you read scripture, because this is the word of God. This is how he speaks to us today. And then you be silent after you read scripture, because the Holy Spirit is living and active in our lives as well. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to speak a specific word to you in that moment. And then write down what you think God is speaking to you. And when you do that, you will be amazed at how that word that you wrote down is exactly what you needed for that day. You eliminate the distractions. Get rid of the busyness. Take 10 minutes with the Lord. So drown out the competing voices and say, God, speak to me. So as Sherry comes to the piano this morning, I want us to just pause for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? See, I believe that for some of you, the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you this morning, saying, hey, I've been here the whole time. I've been speaking into your situation. I've been in the background. I just need you to listen. For others, I believe that the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind some things or areas in your life that are distracting you from hearing what God wants to say. And you need to eliminate those distractions in your life. Like I said, for me, it was social media. I don't even have it on my phone. For you, it may be something else that the Lord says, get rid of the distraction. So Sherry continues to play. I want us to take just 2 minutes and practice the spiritual discipline of waiting and listening for the Lord to speak directly to our hearts. So will you take this time where you're not busy? Don't worry about lunch and the people you have to meet after. And will you just drown out the competing voices in your life and say, God, speak to me this morning. Lord, we are so thankful that you are always speaking. Lord, you are always there. So God, I pray right now for some of us, God, maybe we've been tuning you out. We haven't been listening. We've been just trying to make decisions on our own and just get through life. But you're saying, no, I want to speak to you. I want to speak into your life and into your situation. I want to give you direction and guidance. I want to bring understanding and knowledge into this area of your life. Help us to listen. God, for most of us, we are listening. We want you to speak into our hearts. So I pray that you give us ears to hear, to truly hear your voice. Help us, God, those of us that need to slow down and get rid of the busyness, either because of procrastination or the feeling of needing to be the one to do everything all the time, to help us to eliminate the busyness and to spend time with you, to renew our energy and our passion. For others, God, I pray that you help us to drown out the competing voices around us, Lord, whatever that is, that we can focus solely on your word and your truth. And help us all, God, to want to hear you. Thank you for your word and the ability that we can hear you when we need you. In your holy and mighty name.